Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Two Fairbanks teenagers are charged in an attempted murder and plot. According to Fairbanks police, 18-year-old Harley Morris attacked his 16-year-old girlfriend's mother with a crowbar Sunday night. The attack occurred while the girlfriend, Aviana Johnkins, was walking in the woods with her mother in their neighborhood near the 1600 block of Crossan Avenue. Police say Johnkins' mother sustained extensive injuries to her head and face, but was able to get away. Morris and Johnkins fled, but were located in Morris's truck late Monday afternoon on the Richardson Highway and taken in for questioning. Police say that Johnkins told investigators her mother did not want her seeing Morris and was abusing her. She said she and Morris planned to get her mother into the woods where Morris would kill her. Morris is charged with attempted murder, and both he and Johnkins are charged with conspiracy to commit murder. Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration plans to present revenue options for lawmakers to consider during a second special session scheduled for later this summer. KTOO and Alaska Public Media report that State Revenue Commissioner Lucinda Mahoney told lawmakers yesterday that the options would include the expansion of gambling in the state, and the administration is seeking more detailed analysis of how much money it could raise.
What is more important about that initiative is the economic impacts of that industry on in our economy and the potential to diversify the economy.
Mahoney says there will be additional revenue measures presented to legislators, but only hinted at what they would be.
These new revenue measures are very different than any tax that we've seen in Alaska. They're more modern, but we are still fleshing them out.
Mahoney says the administration is working to update how much money different revenue proposals would raise. The Department of Revenue presented estimates a year ago ranging from just over $2 million from legalizing gambling on card games to more than $1 billion from a sales and use tax similar to one in South Dakota. Nonpartisan experts estimate the gap between what the state of Alaska would raise and what it would spend under Dunleavy's permanent fund dividend proposal to be $1 billion per year over the next decade. Meanwhile, the administration estimates it to be $300 million by the end of the decade. The governor has proposed taking $3 billion from permanent fund earnings to cover budget gaps over the next 5 years. There are 10 days left in the first special legislative session. Alaska's pandemic situation continues to improve. A State Department of Health and Social Services weekly COVID-19 clinical update says the state's case rate continued to fall last week, with 226 Alaska resident cases recorded between May 30th and June 5th, a 13% decrease from the week prior. While noting that COVID testing has declined substantially in recent weeks, Alaska's new case rate dropped to 4.7 per 100,000 people, and that based on the current trend, the number of daily new cases is expected to have every 16.5 days. Fairbanks' new case rate sank to 3.9, but the surrounding interior region had the highest new case rate in the state at 24.4. As of yesterday, 47% of Alaskans 12 and older had been fully vaccinated against COVID-19. The DHSS report says that Alaska had one COVID death and 11 hospitalizations resulting from so-called vaccine breakthrough infections between January 1st and June 1st. As means of comparison, during the same time frame, over 21,000 cases, 476 hospitalizations, and 98 deaths were reported in the state. The DHSS says 98% of all COVID hospitalizations have been unvaccinated people. Alaska U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski visited Dillingham last week to gather ideas for permanent protections against development like the proposed Pebble Mine. KDLG reports that Murkowski opposes the Pebble Project and met with local commercial subsistence and sport fishers. She also held a closed meeting with select community leaders.
This is kind of the beginning of stakeholder engagements and meetings, and we will be continuing this throughout the process.
Murkowski said the best way to ensure long-term protections is for Congress to pass a law. In the past, groups that oppose Pebble have pushed for a preemptive veto from the Environmental Protection Agency.
That clearly is a tool that provides for a level of protection, but it doesn't necessarily ensure that any entity coming beyond the Pebble proposal would be prohibited from mining activity. And so if that's what is being sought, it's legislation.
Earlier this year, regional and statewide groups opposed to Pebble put forward several options for protecting the area. One was to create a national fisheries area, which would bypass the need for a state designation. Meanwhile, the Alaska Native Village Corporation of Pedro Bay has agreed to conservation easements on its lands around Iliamna Lake as a way to preserve habitat for Bristol Bay salmon. It would also block the route the Pebble Partnership wants for transporting ore from its proposed mine. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
More than 90% of Pedro Bay shareholders have agreed to the plan. It calls for a national environmental group, the Conservation Fund, to buy easements on 44,000 acres. In return for restrictions on its property rights, Pedro Bay Corporation, with roughly 200 shareholders, would receive nearly $19 million.
I see that as something that needs to be protected, that whole area, because we live in such a pristine place.
Carla Jensen is one of the Pedro Bay shareholders who approved the plan. She says her community thrives on its land.
And the threat of Pebble, you know, sitting there watching this year after year with this threat hanging over our heads that they may come through Pedro Bay. This is where our road's going to go, you know. It was really scary for us. It was really scary for me.
The land covered by the easements includes part of the Northern Corridor that Pebble Limited Partnership proposed to bring ore from the mine to a port on Cook Inlet. In November, the Army Corps of Engineers rejected Pebble's permit application. Pebble Partnership is working on its administrative appeal of that decision, and a Pebble spokesman said the announcement of the easement doesn't change the company's focus. Larry Selzer, CEO of the Conservation Fund, says his group got involved in the region years ago to protect salmon habitat. Selzer says the possibility of a mine and a mining road focused their priority on particular lands.
And obviously, the Iliamna Lake region, the salmon values, the ecological values are of extremely high importance, but also the threat was real.
It's up to the Conservation Fund to now raise the money to pay for the easements. Selzer says the challenge is made easier by the years-long campaign to stop Pebble, which brought images of the area to the world.
The fact that this has been in the public eye for decades and the threat from the Pebble mine has been a proximate issue for decades drives the visibility that we hope will translate into significant fundraising.
The easements would restrict industrial-scale developments, but not all economic activity. The Bristol Bay Heritage Land Trust would manage the easement. Its director, Tim Troll, says subsistence, cultural activities, and tourism would still be allowed.
There are some limitations on what they can construct. We're not looking at huge buildings. But as long as it's consistent with the overall purposes of the easement, then it's okay.
Blocking Pebble's northern corridor doesn't necessarily kill the mine. It's not the only way to bring the ore out, but it's the one federal regulators said would be the least damaging. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Smoke jumpers responded to new lightning-caused wildfires in the White Mountains National Recreation Area north of Fairbanks yesterday. An Alaska Fire Service post says the smoke jumpers were initially deployed on a single blaze in the vicinity of a public use cabin, and while on the ground, found another new burn. The AFS says there was minimal activity due to rain, but the smoke jumpers will ensure all hot spots are extinguished. I'm Dan Bross.